Yeah. Lord with all my heart, give him my all and not just a part.
I want to worship the Lord. I had a praying grandmother in my life, someone that I could look at her life and see that was what I wanted in my life. I didn't understand it, but I knew that she had something that my mama didn't have, that my daddy didn't have. And I said, Lord, when I get grown, when I get start going to church, I want to go to the church like my grandmother. Because I saw something, didn't know what it was. And the Lord brought me this way. He dealt with my heart and brought me this way. And when I went home, one Saturday, I went home and I found my dad. And he saw me. He looked at me and he said, your face is lighter. Something, your skin is lighter. And I couldn't tell him, couldn't explain to my dad. You have to know my dad. I said, well, yeah, I'm starting church, Dad, and I found Christ. You know, he thought he already had Christ. But, you know, I'm so thankful that the Lord led me to see this way. He led me to see. He brought me in. Got me still enough to hear that me, was lost. You know, when you're out there, you don't know that you're lost. I didn't know that I was lost. I thought I was doing okay, you know, going to church every now and then. Thought that was okay. But the Lord had to deal with me to show me that's not okay. To be with me, that's not okay. You have to have this thing inside of you that only I can give. A void that only I can fill. When I found out, oh, the joy! Oh, the joy that came to me when I knew that I was free! Hallelujah! Woo! You know, when he touched my heart, when I received the Holy Ghost, I was bouncing and jumping, but to me, I was jumping to the ceilings. The ceilings wasn't stopping me, and I felt something that I never felt before, and I said, Lord, how much better can you feel than this? But he let me know, just a drop in the bucket of the things that I have prepared for you. Woo! Woo! And I said, then, Lord, I want it. I want it. No matter what the cost is, I'll pay. By your help, grace, and mercy, Lord. And I've come to find out that it's not easy giving it all up when he shows you something in your life. It's like pulling an eye tooth, trying to get rid of it. I said, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't do it. Oh, God. He said, I know it. I know you can. That's my job, to help you. So I'm finding out that God is God and I'm not him. Woo! That there's a place to go to the only God and the Lord. That there's a place that I can attain to by the help and grace of God. Only by his grace. Oh, God. I remember one time I was in church. Left church that night, laid my head on my pillow. I had this dream that this man was after me. This was one man. He was after me. And I looked at that man. I said, Lord, he's got evil in his eyes. Oh, God. I said, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. He was coming after me. And God said, I'll help you. He touched me, lifted me up on the housetop. Oh, God. And I looked down at this man. And I started singing, hide me and keep me, Savior divine, thou who watchest from above, hide me in that rock that is higher than I. Keep me in the shelter of that love. Dancing on the top of that house. Whoa, what a God. What a God. Whoa. Not long ago, had another dream. These men were after me. Always men. And I said, I don't know how many it was, but they were after me. And I was running, I was running. I was running, running, running. Every house that I would go in, they'd find me. But the Lord touched me and I would go through the ceiling some kind of way. But I was still running, I was running. Went to my brother's house and his wife. They tried to hide me, but they couldn't hide me. Oh, God, and this man, he said, I'm making up a potion for her. We're going to get her. We're going to get her this time with this potion. She can't escape this. We're going to get her. Oh, God. He got close enough to spray me with it. Oh, God. Oh, God. What a God. Woo! He sprayed me. And then they waited and looked and waited. And he looked at another man. He said, this thing is not in her one bit. And I turned around to him. I said, you know why y'all can't catch me? You know why you can't get me? He said, why? I said, because of Jesus Christ. Woo! Woo! You can't have me. songs this morning really touched me, when I say this, I know how it sounds, kind of, you know, because it's not supposed to be about feelings, but I really did feel like worshiping him. And you know, it kept talking about giving him your everything and with all my heart, you know. And last week, I had songs on my mind about reaching out, reaching up to him. And I felt like, you know, God has been dealing with me. And I think, you know, maybe it's just me, and that's something I need to, you know, to focus on. But I think we all do need to keep reaching and keep realizing, I don't know if I can get this out right, our need for him, and not just get, it's easy to get settled and just, you know, feeling everything's going good, you know, and all right, God, I'm where you want me to be now, you know, you, in other words, I'm leaving it all up to him on, you know, inspire me with some kind of great thought or, you know, something, the next thing to do or whatever. And I thought, but really, I'm feeling, maybe nobody else here is but me, but I'm really feeling that I don't have enough. I know that I have a vision. I believe I have some. Maybe it's not as much as it should be, but I whatever it is, I'm thankful that at least for me right now, I have a consciousness that whatever I have is not enough for me. It's just not. I don't want to just sail along on the level I'm at now. I just don't. And I've been telling God that, and I really, you know, of course, it helps going to a meeting, you know, a gathering where people are coming together for that purpose. I think, you know, the more people that blend their spirits, it does help. And the campground meeting was really good for me in that way. It just kind of helped stir up that resolve a little more, you know. But I came home with that, and I came home asking God, you know, help me to keep this hunger. And that's sort of what spurred those courses on reaching out for me last week, you know. Is I was thinking of, and this is something that I feel like I say God gave it to me or whatever, but anyway, thoughts that I'd had a few years ago. I was reading in the chapter, I want to say Luke, but maybe more than one place, about ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open. And I don't know I don't know what the word is I'm looking for now, but if it comes from being under Brother Leninger and hearing so many of his, this many phases of this and this many steps of that, you know, he did a lot of that. But it seemed like that particular time when I read that, I was just seeing that, ask, seek, and knock, and it stuck out to me because I'm a word person, that the first letters, A-S-K, spelled ask. And so I started thinking of it as three phases of asking. And y'all forgive me if this sounds kind of silly, but to me it kind of started making sense because I thought, as you know, when my children were little, if they wanted something, they might not even notice if I was in the room with them. They just holler out, you know, Mom, I want a drink. Or, you know, Mom, I'm hungry. What's for lunch? Or whatever, you know. And to me, I saw that as kind of the first phase of asking, you know. Like, you get this thought, and, you know, so I might say, Lord, I want more of you. Help me, you know. But if I stopped there, if my kids stopped there, they might not get lunch for a while if I was busy doing something. And so I was thinking the next phase then, they might look around and, oh, well, Mama's not here in the room. She didn't hear me. They would seek me out. You know, Mama, what's for lunch? You know? And I liken that to myself. You know, if I'm just saying, you know, off the cuff, Lord, I want more of you. I need you. But maybe if I'm really wanting it in my own self bad enough, I needed to seek him out. Maybe that meant just coming to church. Maybe that meant seeking out some people to, you know, help me pray. Maybe that meant making the effort to go to a meeting, you know, but I needed to put some legs on it. And then the last knock to me was, you know, would be like my kids. If they sought me out and they found me and they asked me and I still ignored them, still didn't pay attention, maybe was focused on something else, maybe on the phone talking to somebody, they might come start pulling on my arm. You know, Mom, you know, all this kind of stuff. Hey, I'm hungry, you know. And I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to get to that phase where I'm like, God, are you sure you're hearing me? I've found you. I'm asking. I've sought you out. I'm trying to go where I think I can find you, you know. And now I'm knocking. I need you. I'm hungry. I'm hungry, and I want something, you know. And so that just sort of, and then when I was thinking of reaching out, I thought, as you know, little children, I used to work in a daycare, and, you know, I've been around children. I teach at Homeschool Academy, so I've been around a lot of little kids. And, you know, the ones that act okay with, you know, they're just okay going off. They take care of themselves. They entertain themselves. You know, they're good. They're fine. Tend, not because you don't love them, but they tend not to get as much attention. And, you know, especially busy moms or caretakers, you know. Or just the fact that they may, you know, you may have time as a mom, but if my children didn't act like, you know, if I was trying to pick them up and love them and they were squirming, I want to go do this, I want to go play, I want to go, then I'd put them down. You know, I wouldn't love on them. I wouldn't try to hold on to them if, you know, if they were interested in something else somewhere else. And that's what I thought of, you know. I want to be able to go. I want to be able to go to my Heavenly Father and raise my hands up and show Him, I want your attention. I need your love. I need your touch. I need you to pay attention to me, to give me something, to, you know, that affection, that touch from you. I need that. And I want to show Him that I need it, whether it's reaching out, just literally raising my hand to show that, or, you know, whether it's, you know, whatever is, you know, He impresses on me that I feel like I need to do. I want to put some action. I want to put some action to it. I want to show Him that I need Him. And I want maybe by that to continue feeding that hunger, because I know the Bible says, blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. Didn't say He'd fill the ones that weren't hungry. Sometimes you might get lucky and you might get to eat just because. But if you're not hungry, you know, if my kids weren't hungry, if they said, nah, we're not hungry right now, then I'm not going to waste the time. I got enough other things to do. I'm not going to waste the time fixing a meal. You know, but if I know they're hungry, I'll go out of my way. I'll let something go to fix something. And that's what I want to do in my relationship with Him. I'm sorry if this sounds silly, but for me, I'm feeling that need. I'm really feeling that need. And God, I want to keep that alive. So, you know, whatever I can do to keep reminding myself and Him that I need more. I need more of Him. I need more of His love. I need more of His Spirit. I need more of His grace. I want to realize how needy I really am. I don't want to get caught up in, I'm doing good. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I'm doing pretty good, you know. I go to meetings now and then. I'm really doing good, you know. I don't want to get caught up in that and forget how much I really need Him, because I don't know what's around the bend. I don't know what's around the corner. I don't know what's ahead. But like Brother Smith said, we really haven't had that much fire baptism yet. Not really. I look around at other people, you know, that I know, acquaintances, and I see things they're going through, and I think, I thought I had it bad. I don't. You know, life throws you curves all the time. Everybody gets them, but for the most part, I've been abundantly blessed, and I want to be thankful for that, but I want also to know that something's coming, and I want to be ready for that. I want more of Him. I want to, I don't know, I guess I'm rambling now, but I'm so thankful to be here and be in a place where we're learning the truth and we're learning to understand these things.
You kind of hit it on the head when you said, because I've been feeling that same hunger. You know, I'm hungry for a deeper depth of the Spirit. And that, you know, and God's, He's just not going to, sometimes He may drop it from heaven, but this is a pressing way. We've got to press. We got to work for it. And I don't just, you know, look back to the past, but I can remember when the Spirit was so strong in this church that it wasn't just two or three people. The whole church was just laid out in the Spirit. Laid out in the Spirit. And I'm longing. I don't know, but I'm longing to see that again. I'm longing for it. I'm not saying that the Spirit's not here, but that deep, that deep depth of the Spirit. I am hungering for it. And I need to get my life just, you know, in order too. But I'm hungry. I'm hungry for His Spirit. And I hope I'm not saying anything that's, you know, out of the way. But it's a pressing way. We got to get our hands up. We got to press for it. Oh, Jesus. And I want more of the Lord. I want more of Him in my life. And I am hungry too. I'm hungry for something. Jesus, Jesus.
Especially coming from a meeting or services in Dominican, and just feeling what they're feeling, and when they start the service off, I mean, you can just tell, you know, what I guess that in our lives, I feel like you become complacent, you know, every day. Cares alive, but I mean, just like the other sisters have said, I know, you know, I haven't been striving really, and just thinking about words that Brother Smith said downstairs today about at one time during our walk when we're developing, it's like we were there in that place. And I know that I've had experiences in the Lord too, to where I felt like I was walking way, way up high, you know, like the earth was so down below me. But and we do need to stay faithful and dedicated in everything, because you're right, you just don't know what's going to be thrown to you in what you're going to be faced with, and, you know, have to go through it, right? Because going around that mountain again and again isn't any fun. It's, you know, there's no growth in it. But anyway, I just wanted to thank God for my opportunity to go to Dominican. It was a wonderful, wonderful trip, and I just really felt the love of the people there. The last time that I was there, which was almost 10 years ago, I don't know, I didn't feel that, but you can really tell the growth in the people, and they were just like grabbing at you, and I mean, every sister would greet you with a kiss. I just kissed so many people all week long. It's not funny, but they're precious, so precious, you know. And I felt a connection to them, you know. Like I want to go back again. They're my sisters, you know. But we really did have a blessed trip, Brother Green. He, you know, I know y'all know that the place that we stayed was just absolutely gorgeous. Nothing could have been better. And I wanted to thank everybody for praying for me last Wednesday, because when I was leaving Little Rock, our flight was delayed. So by the time I got to Houston, I missed my connecting flight. And so they had to reroute my whole path. Well, then I asked about my suitcase that I paid $25 for, because you have to pay for your suitcases now. Well, with United, you do. Anyway, so they told me that my suitcase was in Chicago and it was on its way to New Jersey unless I was there to claim it. It was going to sit there, and, you know, it's I mean, it just brought me so far down to know that I was going to land in Dominican and I have nothing to wear but what's on me. And I have ice trays and shoes and what was in my carry-on bag, but no clothes. And so I had to spend the night in the Houston airport, and you couldn't sleep because the music was blaring and pounding and hammering. They were doing a lot of construction. So anyway, I got out my Bible and I started reading. I was reading through Matthew, and I got to Matthew 6:31. I think it says, you know, where God says, don't, you know, worry about what we'll eat or what we'll drink or what we'll wear. And I said, Lord, I need my clothes. And you can make a miracle. You can help me to get my clothes. It's not anything for you to do this for me. And I said, I'm going to trust you. I said, I'm not going to let this ruin my whole trip. And they told me I could fly to Newark, to New Jersey, but I would sit there until Friday before they could get me to Dominican. And I'm like, oh, yeah, use half of my time spending in that airport. No, I'd rather go with no clothes. And so anyway, I thought, well, I just might have to get before the church and say, sisters, who wears my size? Can I borrow some clothes? And so I said, Lord, I'm just going to have faith and I'm going to trust you. And so anyway, I was flown into Miami, and then that plane was delayed. And then finally, almost midnight, I got to Punta Cana, and what United told me was they weren't going to help me do anything to try to claim my luggage. They said, we've transferred you over to American Airlines, and basically now it's their problem. And when you land in Punta Cana, you need to go to the American Airlines and you need to make a baggage claim, and they have to try to get your luggage to you. I mean, they really didn't care to help me at all. And so anyway, whenever I landed, that's exactly what I did. And I had to go through like three people before I got to finally the man who I could make the claim with. And then there was a whole bunch of luggage out there, you know, where the baggage claim is. And he says, go out there and see if you can find your suitcase. And I was so hopeful because there was a whole bunch of bags just left there, like, you know, wow. And so I was going through everything, and I just come back, you know, just like, just dragging my chin, you know. I'm like, no, it's not there. And then he said, what does it look like? And I said, it had my duffel bag. And I said, it looks just like this, the same pattern, same color and everything, but it's a suitcase, a small suitcase with wheels on it. And he just looked at me and he said, well, come here. And so I followed him back behind a counter into a place where people don't go. And it actually looked like a jail. And I looked, and there was my suitcase. And I did, y'all. I jumped up and down. I was like, oh, oh, thank God, thank God. I said, Dad, that's my bag. That's my bag. And I only have the key to one lock, and I have to wait for another man to come and unlock the second lock so you could get your bag. I'm like, where is he? When is he coming? How much longer? You know, because I just had like a few minutes to register into the hotel that I had, and I was worried that, oh great, I'm going to get too late to, you know, register, and then I'm going to lose my room. But anyway, so finally I got my bag, and then I went around to where all the taxis, there's little men, they hold up these signs, and they're just trying to grab you and your luggage, you know, and take you wherever. I'm like, no, no, you know, there was a pole, and it said Four Points Sheraton, and I just picked up the phone, and the desk answered, and I said, I have reservations for you, and it ends at 12, but I'm at the airport, I just got my bag. And he said, are you Julie Ann? Yes, yes. He said, Julie Ann Lacey, we're waiting for you. And I said, I'm trying to get there. And he said, I'm sending a man to get you. 2 minutes, we'll be there. So anyway, when I walked in and I didn't have to check in or anything, they just gave me the card to get to my room. But It really was a wonderful trip. Then the next day, they took me to the airport, and I met Sister Tally. She found me. I was so worried I'd miss him, and she saw me. But the whole trip was wonderful. I enjoyed going to all the services. Brother Calderon's service in the middle of the sugar cane. God really blessed that service. And I was so thankful to be there. You know, all those people, you know, they would give us the front seats and everything. And I hated that. And a lot of them were sitting outside on pews, you know, just trying to squeeze in. And anyway, it was a very good service. All of them were. I enjoyed being in Brother Green's service. We were actually there twice. And Brother Cipriano's, the power kept going out over there. The fans would stop. He'd be like, oh, no. Then they'd get it going. I guess they had a generator or something. You know, they take turns turning the power off. But anyway, it was really a good service. Everything was so wonderful. And then the very last day I got to stay at Brother Smith, the couple that live in Punta Cana, Brother Carpio, yes, he actually came and picked me up. Well, Brother Green took me to Hue, it starts with the H, Hue, and Igwe, yeah, it doesn't sound anything how it looks. But anyway, he's a contractor, architect, and he was actually still working. And so Brother Green told me he's still working, so you got to go to work with him. And then when he gets off work, he'll take you to his house. So it was really wonderful because, I mean, I felt so blessed because it was exactly what I wanted to see, all the back streets, all the back roads. He had to pick up some parts. We went to a shop. He had to go to a concert. Anyway, I just saw all parts of that little town, and I was just taking pictures, and he speaks very good English, and we had a lot of time to talk. And then finally when we got to his house and we went out on his back porch, his wife wouldn't let me help her do anything. I kept trying, no, and so we, you know, I had a good opportunity to talk to him and give him my testimony. And then we were eating dinner. I don't know how we got on the subject of Brother Liniger, but we talked about Brother Liniger quite a bit, and I was telling him things, you know, and he's like, no way, you know. And then he'd tell his wife, and the two older kids were sitting there listening. The other one, 5 years old, he, of course, he's a baby, but anyway, their little girl, Ileani, I absolutely fell so in love with this little girl. I want her. I don't have a granddaughter. I'm like, what can I do to make her my granddaughter? You know, her birthday's October 12th. I kept trying to get them to tell me, how do I get your address? And they didn't understand that. I'm like, how do you get your mail? How do you get your bills in the mail? Your water bill? They're just looking at me puzzled, like, maybe they don't have mailboxes. And I was like, did I see any mailboxes? How do they get their mail? But anyway, I give up on it. I thought I'm going to have to go another way. But the little girl, she was learning a little bit of English, and so we wrote out a bunch of words, and she was teaching me a lot of words and everything. And then they just, every time I turn around, they were trying to get me to eat something or drink something. But I had, I mean, just being there the day over and the opportunity to stay in their home. And what a beautiful house it is. He designed it and built it himself. It's not done yet, but anyway, just absolutely gorgeous. But I enjoyed that family, and then he called me the next day because he actually left before I got up, but called me, and he told me, Sister Julie, you have a family in Punta Cana. We are your family. And don't ever forget that. He told me, he said, I have a taxi coming to get you, and it's paid for. Everything is taken care of, you know, and it's coming at 11:30. But anyway, they were so gracious and so good to me, and I just adore them. But it was a wonderful trip, and I'm thankful to God. All his goodness, his mercy, and I missed y'all.
Sitting here and listening to all the wonderful talks that everybody's given and wanting to reach up higher and wanting to reach out more for the Lord. And it right before everybody started talking, the thought came to me, he's on his throne. And then as everybody kept talking about Sister Watson starting off of, you know, about the men that were after her in her life and how Jesus Christ always came to her rescue, and just everybody wanting to reach up higher and want more. And Sister Julie, he was on his throne. You know, he knew where your luggage was. He had it under lock and key. How much safer can it get? You know? And so it just, you know, just sitting here listening today, he is just on his throne. I have no doubt that no matter what my need is or what your need is, whether it's right now or whether it's tomorrow, whether it's in our future with his timing, he is on his throne.
Does anybody sing the song "Whatever It Takes to Draw Me Closer to You, Lord"? That's what I'd be willing to do. Like Sister Yvonne used to sing it. While she's looking for that song, we'll go ahead and take up our offering and thank the Lord for being here today and hearing these good words and testimonies, and to know that, like Sister Ann said, that God is on the throne, and sometimes he may let us sweat a few things, and you know, since we don't know everything that goes on, how it's going to come out, we have to kind of wait on him. And Leonard used to sing that song, which is "Those that wait upon the Lord and shall renew their strength." So sometimes, I don't know, we was doing something over there in the Dominican, and I don't know, Sister Brenda really enjoyed the meeting, and I think her highlight of the trip was getting home to visit with her granddaughter. She got to visit with her granddaughter, when was it, Wednesday, I guess, and she was excited about that. So anyway, we was talking about, you know, hurry up, you know, over there. You know, I tell him, I said, look, you know, we don't have to worry about transportation. We don't have to worry about a schedule. Somebody else is picking us up. Somebody else is telling us what to do. We don't have to worry about anything. But anyway, so we, you know, we was in other, and like God said, when you're young, you went where you would. But when you get a little older, another would gird you and take you where you would not. So anyway, that's kind of way we was over there. We just, you know, wherever they take us, you know, that's where we go. So anyway, and I will tell him, you know, we was talking about something, but anyway, I'm just saying, well, you know, God, sometimes he just come right at the nick of time. Sometimes you might think, well, God, are you going to do it? You know, you going to help me? But sometimes it's that way. You know, he let us wait just to the last minute. But anyway, I'm thankful that we can serve a God like we serve, and have the confidence. That's what I want to have, is a confidence that God, he said he would. And I want to just stand on that and believe what he said he would do for us. And that's, sometimes I have to repeat that to myself. But anyway, but I want to have that kind of confidence in God to believe and trust that he'll do what he said he would do. And let that guide me through life, having that kind of confidence in God. So anyway, today we got a visitor, Sheila, is it Tabbert? All right. Good to have her here today. God bless you. But anyway, let's take up our prayer request. You have any? Anybody have any? Brother Curtis. Okay, Sister Karen. Let's pray for Sister Karen today. She's having a problem. All right, Sister Gail. Sister Elsie, let's remember to pray for her. Is she any better, Sister? Okay, let's remember to pray for Sister Elsie today. Brother Al. Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right, Sister Wilson. Okay, your grandson. All right, brother. All right, remember that request. Sister Crow. Yes. Having a funeral today. I wondered about that.
Brother David Angelo.
It's David.
Sister Jania's wife and children.
All right, remember that.
Brother, let's remember that.
Remember the church.
1 o'clock.
Angelo family.
Yes.
Pray that God will give them strength and.
Also, Brother and Sister Stewart both have been sick, and I think been in the hospital, at least I heard. Sure good to see them here today. And
yes, it's very good to see them. Brother and Sister Stewart here today. Good to see them here. Hope that God has helped them.
Also, my mother's had maybe a mini stroke or something. She's having a hard time walking and talking, slurred speech, and last 3 or 4 days, she's not doing well at all. Pray for her. Please.
Pray for Sister Smith, Grandma Smith. All right, Sister Donna. All right, remember Sister Donna's mother, Sister Abraham. Your family, okay. All right, so I'll remember that today. All right. Any else? Sister Sandra. Gosh. All right, remember that. Those needs today. Sister Linda. Unspoken. Oh, special unspoken. All right. Brother Matt. All right. What's, you got a name? Yeah. All right. Remember that today. All right. Okay. Sister Holly. Okay, remember Sister Holly today. Paul David, miss him today. Yeah. Pray for him. Any other needs? Okay, let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord. I ask that God will help his people. Lord, we thank you for this day that we have before us. Lord, we ask that you help.
That's why.
good to serve the Lord, isn't it? And you know that it's a process, this walk of faith that we were talking about it in Bible study, that it that we're justified by faith. Brother Mark Boyd reminded me upstairs after we got upstairs that James said that faith without works is dead, or that we're justified by works, not faith only. And so, of course, I've always used 2 Peter 1 to show that you have to add to faith virtue, which is strength or power. And that is obedience. And that's where the works comes in. If you really have faith, God deals with you, you'll obey Him. And when you obey Him, that adds, you're putting feet and legs to your faith and responding to God in obedience to sacrificing. It takes a sacrifice of saying, I will, Lord, to His will, yielding our will over, just like Jesus did when He said, not my will, but thine be done. When He realized God's, he didn't just realize it then, but He knew that it was God's will that He suffer death for all of us. And in this process of serving Him, you go through many phases. At first, generally, when you get a good experience of salvation, it's a wonderful thing to feel like I've been washed. God's forgiven me of my sins. You feel free. Sister Inez was relating that this morning, how free she felt when God saved her and brought her into His family. And it is a wonderful thing. I was listening to how she was explaining when she got the Holy Ghost, she felt like she was jumping higher than the ceiling. The ceiling couldn't even stop her. That's how she felt when she was, that was an experience she had. And people have all kinds of different experiences with, you know, their, of salvation, how God touches them. And I know, you know, I've had so many experiences, you know. And then, but after you come to salvation and God touches you, you have it in your heart to serve Him and live for Him. And you try to do everything that you know or you feel like is right, righteous. You try to begin to get your life out of the entanglements of worldly things and sinful things that you were entangled with. There is some concern that I have, that I see people today that think they can serve God without getting out of the entanglements of this world. Seem like there's some people think they can just live in sin and still be saved. That's scary, because if this world ever gets so down with that, we'll lose God. We'll lose God out of anyone that turns that direction would lose God out of their life. And be persuaded of a false idea about God. But it does take, that's what James was talking about, it does take obedience. There's a scripture in Colossians, I'll read to you, that that he Paul in his letter to the church at Colossae. States in the first chapter, and we could start at the 21st verse, where it says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." That doesn't mean that you would ever feel like you was an enemy of God, but just your wicked works proves that you are doing things that are against God's righteousness. In the body of his flesh through death, I didn't read, yet now hath he reconciled. God did that for you and I while we were still in sin. The Lord did. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If, everybody ought to circle that little word in their Bible. Right there. I made a habit of circling little ifs in the Bible. If there's a contingency on this scripture, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. Of course, he's talking back there to that church that in that world, that gospel was spread. It's spread here in this world too, but we're not finished. We haven't finished. He was writing in the end of that world. But he was telling them that what Jesus done for them had an if to it, and that is if they continue in the faith. Grounded and settled. There's a grounding to this. There's a foundation that holds you to it. And that's what Sister Watson was talking about when she was saying that there's something God has to put in you. God's got to touch you. And you've got to, and your walk with Him's it's a personal thing. It's a personal walk. It's a personal experience, and that's what you can't get away from, although you will to some extent in different phases of your walking by faith, because you've got to get this figured out. There's a practical part of salvation that you've got to get. There's a knowledge part of it. There's an understanding part of it that you have got to get the workings of it in your life. And, then there's a side of it that is that personal experience and connection of the Spirit, your experience of the Spirit of God, and however you relate to God and your everyday experience. You can live in that, and you don't want to get too far away from it. I would encourage everybody to try to keep that personal experience in the Spirit alive. But when you go through, more reading the Bible, getting the more understanding of and that's part of it. Jesus said true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a side to this of understanding, knowledge, and learning, because you can have ideas in your mind about serving God that have to be adjusted. They may even be wrong altogether. There's people that thinks that everything that happens to them bad, God's punishing them. That's not true. He might be punishing you, but it's not necessarily true. Some things you go through in life, God just, it's just nature. It's just natural. God lets you go through natural things. He does watch over your life. He guides your steps. He'll lead you into trials. He'll test you. God, if He loves you, He'll test you. But some of your tests will just come naturally, because if you try to live righteous in this world, this world's unrighteous. It's an ungodly world, and everything you're trying to do will go against things you'll run into every day. It'll go against your own nature, because there's a part of you, there's an Adamic part of you that is, it's contrary to the things of God. You want to do your own thing. You want to do your own will. And so you've got to work out your own salvation. And in working on that, sometimes you just have to break away from the mechanics of it and just return to the worship side, the dependent on Him, the loving Him, the expecting and the hope that's in Him. And it's hard to find that balance. I know that because I'm in this with you. I'm not just trying to tell you how to do it. I'm not claiming to be ahead of you. I'm just claiming to be with you in this walk. This way of serving Him. But oh, I tell you, sometimes when you can just focus on Him and rest in Him and begin to talk to Him and keep Him in your conversation, you know, in your everyday walk, and get in a place where you're touching Him, touching the hem of His garment, there is a righteousness in Christ that we all need. We need the touch from that, the virtue, the little woman that pressed through the crowd with the issue of blood. I know that just about everything in the New Testament Jesus did had a practical lesson to it. There was an allegorical picture to it. That little woman she had an issue of blood. It was a curse, you know, not to be able to have children. And that woman went to doctors and physicians, and she couldn't get healed from her condition. And, you know, that was, those days were, that was a time when, you know, it was a blessing to provide your husband and your family with children to help take care of. I mean, that's how you lived back then. People lived by, having big families to help take care of the fields, and they made their living off the land. And I've never have met very many women that couldn't have a child, that didn't have a real, you know, dilemma with that. Brother Durham's son, oldest son, Jacob's wife, Terry, she's got two little girls, but she had the hardest time ever, being with child. And she about drove us all nuts. Yeah, I mean, if you mentioned anything about a child, she'd get mad. You know, she read everything you did or said. If you went to playing with a child around her, she'd get mad because she couldn't have one. She got mad at God and everybody else. She went through it. I'm sure if you could get her to open up and talk today, she could do a better job of relating to you what was going on in her mind and all of the things she went through. But and we was all, boy, when he found out she was going to have a baby, we just, thank God. You know, I'm sure we wasn't as happy about it as Jacob was. I don't know how the guy lived with her. You know, I'm not saying, I don't care if she hears this. She knows I love her and him too. But, you know, she had such a problem And it is a problem with women that, you know, every woman wants to bear a child, just about. I don't know if I've met one that didn't, but I have met them that couldn't. And God just has to give them grace. But this little woman with the issue of blood, and it was a picture of Israel that never had brought forth a child. Isaiah prophesied about it, how that they couldn't, you know, bring forth life. Israel wasn't able to produce life in God. They could produce the flesh, but they couldn't produce life in God. And that's what this little woman's life was a picture of. That, but she just felt like if I could but touch the hem of his garment. And of course, the Jews had a law that the hem of their garment had to be a blue ribbon, which reminded them of the righteousness that was in the law that they were keeping, that God gave them. And so every time, you know, I thought about that at times. Is why didn't God put the ribbon around the collar or somewhere else? But he put it right down at the bottom. You got to look down to find him. You know that? This is a lowly way to serve God. But when you looked at everyone that in Israel, their garments had a blue ribbon around the border of it. And it was to remind them of the righteousness of God's law, his law. And that woman, when she saw that, she knew what that represented. When she saw Jesus go by and saw that blue ribbon in his garment, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She knew that man was righteousness and what that blue ribbon represented. She thought, if I could just touch his, just some way I could touch the righteousness that's in this man. And she pressed. She started. She had faith. Somehow God put something in her. She believed she'd heard about him. She thought, if there's some way I can just touch him, just the hem of his garment, I'm not asking to touch anything else. And she pushed her way through some way. I don't know if she got down, crawled, or what she did. But when she touched the hem of his garment, he stopped and turned around and said, who touched me? His disciples said, what are you talking about, man? They're thronging us. We're trying to get you through this crowd of people. Everybody's touching us. He said, I felt virtue go out of me. He knew somebody really touched him. Something really had touched him. And that has to be our desire. God, that I could touch you, that you could heal what is lacking in me, that's not bringing forth your righteousness in my life, that's not producing life. Every one of us want to be impregnated with the life of God. And we need that, not only for ourselves, but we need it for everyone that our life touches. God needs it. God needs you to have that kind of touch. But it takes you. It takes you and me touching God. And we can't get away from that. We can't get so buried in the mechanics of serving him that we get away from that touch of faith, that believing that he's going to meet my needs, and that I can have his righteousness flowing through me. The life of God can work in my life. And I can't dam it up with, you know, everything that would hinder. But I've got to keep that flowing. I've got to keep that continuing in faith, grounded and settled. That's got to be settled in me. I won't be satisfied, or settle for anything else. His touch. That, you know, and you know, I can't even explain that to you. You just, if you've had the touch of faith, the touch of life, God's touch, but you got to keep that connection. You know, and that's what we have to keep. And I think that's why we go through, like Sister Bride, I think, was mentioning, you know, the hunger for that again. I remember Brother Brown telling in some meeting, I can't remember when it was, but I remember him telling about one of the brothers there in Houston that had left the church. It got things, it kind of got dry. And he left, and he came back, and he got to talking to Brother Brown. He said, I want that old-time feeling again. Brother Brown said, hang around. It'll come back. It always does. It always has. But we do go through, God lets us go through some dry ground. He'll let you go through some phases. He wants to see what you got. Will you? Is it enough for you to hold on, to get through? Now, I'm not trying to erase the fact that God does deal with us. He does chastise. He will correct us. And when we're going through, the Bible does tell us, in the day of adversity, consider. If you're going through rough time, consider that. Consider God. God may be asking me for something. He may be correcting me. Search your heart. Get on the altar. Get on your knees and begin to ask God. God, is there something I need to do? Is there something I need to fix? Is there something you're talking to me about that's undone in my life that I need to repent of? It's a good time to search your heart for repentance. But it's not always. You know, that's why you've got to work this out yourself. You've got to find out, is God chastising me, or am I just going through some natural things that He's letting me go through? Is this a trial? Is it a fiery trial that's, you know, I'm having to go through, and God's letting me go through it? I've told y'all, I know I've told it probably more than once, my little experience with that dog that got the bone around its jaw that I prayed, you know, I was broke, didn't have any money, I begged God to help me with that dog. You know, and God said, you help it. You know, I learned something in that. I learned sometimes God says, you go through this trial and you figure it out. I'm not always going to be your cosmic Santa Claus to deliver you of every problem you face. I want you to work your way through this. I'll help you. I'll be there with you. But you can do more than just always asking me to just fix it for you. Sometimes you just have to, you have to put God first. That's this scripture Sister Julie was referring to. You know, the key to that scripture is seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. Get Him on the front burner. You know, you can't put God on your back burner. You got to get Him on. He's got to be your priority. By the way, that's why we're supposed to be here, the faithful. That's why we're supposed to be on the job. It's not just, you don't just come to church. Seems like to me, I keep up. Y'all know I keep up? Seems like the attendance is down sometimes when I'm gone. Seems like y'all know when I'm gone, some of y'all. You know, God ain't looking. He ain't looking at that. Well, He is. He knows what's going on, just like I do. But I'm going to tell y'all something. Your salvation don't depend on whether or not I'm here or not. It depends on your faith and your walk of faith and your obedience and faithfulness to God. This is His kingdom. It's His church. It's not mine. I'm just a husbandman here. But along with these other brethren, we're just trying to, you know, to be leaders of the way. We're trying to lead you in the pathway of righteousness. But God's the one that's watching. You're the epistle. You're the book, the record. He knows your life is a record. He knows what you're doing. He knows how you're living. He knows your faith and your faithfulness. I certainly understand the flesh. Y'all ain't going to believe this. I know you won't believe it. sometimes I think, oh God, it's Wednesday night. I'd just like to go in and pull off my shoes and just sit down and relax. But did you know that the devil knows not to talk to me too much about that now? Because I pretty well got him whipped. Mama told me I had to go because I'm the preacher. No, that's Mama didn't tell me that. That's a story I use sometimes. But sometimes I do wonder if God called me to preach so I'd have to be here. I think, oh, Lord. Sometimes when some of y'all don't show up, I don't get mad at you because I think, God, if I wasn't the pastor, would I be going? I'm going to tell you something. When I wasn't the pastor, I did go. I understand your trials and your temptations, but my wife will tell you, before we ever dreamed of pastoring a church, when the church service started, we were there every service unless something bad happened to keep us from being there. My pastor knew that he could look out there and I'd be sitting there. I don't know. God put that in me. I just knew if I was going to serve God, I got to get to church. It can't be halfway, maybe so, if and but, and all the other excuses that can come along. Just was there. I just made up my mind. I got to do it. If I can't be faithful to go to church, how in the world am I going to serve? How in the world am I going to prove to him that I'm going to be on the job serving you? And I've got to be a part of your kingdom. You're the one that said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. As how's it say that? As the manner of some is. Yeah. As you see the day approaching. In other words, there was a day approaching that people were becoming less and less faithful, and the church was going in a falling away condition, and Paul was saying, don't you stop, don't you quit being faithful to coming and assembling yourselves together. This is what God chose. This ain't man's doing, it's God's doing for us to gather together and wait on the Spirit of God. I've received something here today. God talked here today. Did you hear him? Did you receive it? Did you feel his spirit here? Yes, amen. I need that just as much as every one of you need it. It's our spiritual food. And we can serve him. I mean, we are to grow to a place where we're like Jesus. We're on the job every day, all the time. Wherever we're at, we're having church, we're drawing a crowd. But until we get there, we need to be here getting whatever we got to get there. And so he's our Savior. He's our helper. And there is mechanics to all of this, but don't ever get to a place that you're not putting that faithful touch, that touch of faith, that I got to touch him. Keep that in your life. Every once in a while, I have to do it. I just have to stop, go somewhere, stop, and just begin to talk to him. And just get my personal relationship, my conversing with him. That scripture in Revelations is a strong scripture with me where Jesus said, you'll open the door, I'm knocking, and if you'll open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. And you with me. He ain't talking about eating nothing natural. That supper with the Lord is a spiritual feeding. It's a spiritual drink. And you can have a fellowship with him. You can have a relationship with God. And the more you get to know him, the more you exercise that, the closer you'll get to him. And the more the Word of God, that you get the truth of God's Word, that gets in your heart and down in your soul. I don't know how good I'm doing delivering my heart, but I'm trying to help you realize there is a mechanics part of this that will take you away from the personal touch. And you got to learn how to keep that in balance. You got to learn how to keep the Spirit alive, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost alive in your soul. But the Word of God's got to be there too. It ain't all jumping up and down. It's not all shouting. But I'd hate for it all to be the Word of God. I'd hate for somebody to just give me knowledge and understanding and just keep delving into all of that, and there's no feeling to it, there's no spirit with it. I'd hate to try to live for God like that. I'd afraid I couldn't make it. I'd hate to try to eat all the time without ever getting a drink. I'd hate to try to live on water too. Every once in a while, you can give me all. I've done that. You know, they say it'll help you. You know, you ought to drink how many ounces of water a day? 64 ounces a day? Who does that? I've tried it. Just try it. You'll think, I got to have something else. I got to have something besides water. There's got to be something. Something inside of me's crying out, saying, give me something else. Something solid. I know probably don't need as much of that as I'm getting, but you're getting my point. Spiritually, you got to have the balance. Hallelujah. So, but I do have a great appreciation for these songs that we were singing to get closer. Sister Abraham texted me. Reminded me of the song that said, there's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. I think the song we sang was the one you was talking about. It wasn't it, Sister Abraham, or was it not? The song that they sang, whatever it takes to be drawn closer to you, that those words, there's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, is the first line in the first verse. Oh God, I thank God one day I heard that voice. One day he reached down and touched me. And I want that touch to stay alive, not just, you know, sometimes I think it's necessary to just pause and just rest a little while in that spirit of the touch that you got from God. You know, what is that song that says, remind me, roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Sometimes we lose all that. We don't realize what God has saved us from. Sometimes we get so caught up in the mechanics of life. There's, you know, this all has to work in life. You've got to figure out how to apply this to everyday situations of your life. How do I go through all what I'm going through and keep God first in it all? You know, it has to do with your relationship with people, your relationship on a job, your relationship with your family. I've watched people, a lot of people. I wish sometimes I could tell people, you keep serving God, keep Him rich in your life, it'll affect your family. You'll eventually win some of them. Some of them will be affected by your walk. I've seen some people go backwards on their walk because of their relationship with their family. And their whole family's souls are dependent on them. They're the only ones serving Him. Could see where God's brought us from, where we could have wound up if it hadn't been for the touch of God on our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God today for the peace that I have. It's not all easy. It's not all easy serving God. You're still going to go through trials. You're still going to go through problems in life. But I don't know how to go through them without Him. That's the thing. I'd hate to be alone in them. People do it. They go through this life, but they never have peace. They never have righteousness. They never have an understanding. And they never develop to a place to where they can have the goodness of God, the richness of God. Not only in this life, but whatever this eternal life is is going to afford us, whatever that's going to be made up of. We've just got some insights into it. But I just, here's how I feel about that. I like this life. Even with all the trouble and sin that's in it, I like my walk with God in this. I don't want to go back into the world. I don't want what the world's got. But I like God's creation. I like breathing air and all of the things this walk of God and His knowing something about His purpose and His plan and how He works and all the experiences that goes with it. This personal walk with Him, what I know about Him, His touches, my personal touches with Him. I can't tell you about all of them today, but I'm telling you there are many, and they're all great. It's just magnificent. I can't tell you I'm telling you this trip we just went on to the Dominican Republic. You know, we had one service last Sunday, 5 hours, and about four of it was just waves of the Spirit. Just one wave after the other. Just, you know, and I had to, I don't remember who it was I was telling, but I told them, I said, when I first started going over there and God started touching these people this way, when I first went over there, it was just dead. Just preached to these people. They just sat there. I like your doing right now. No, I feel more response right now than I did when I first went over. I'm telling you, all the women had little head napkins on their head. You know, they didn't understand that scripture. And Brother Calderon out in Guerrero, that was the deadest church, almost of all of them. And Brother Elias's was the next worst. None of them had the Holy Ghost. Brother Elias didn't have it. They didn't. Brother Calderon didn't have it. Brother Calderon got the Holy Ghost in Wichita. Brother Elias got it right there standing in his Nazarene church. I prayed him through the Holy Ghost. Brother Weiniger was there when we prayed him through. Brother Green already had it when I went over there. And a few people in his church. I wished I would have taken some of y'all and showed you the first little church. It was just around the corner where we was. I took Sister Smith back over there. It was about 12 foot wide. About 22 foot long, just a little old hole in the wall, and the doors were opened out like that. And sometimes people, we'd have to set chairs out there, I think we put three chairs on this side and three on this side and a little aisle right down the middle of them, something like that. Just a little old bitty place. They crammed up full, they were, you know, But I'm telling you, when God began to touch them people and they started getting this message, the Spirit of God started falling on them people. They started really understanding it, the message, and started, you know, different ones getting the Holy Ghost. I mean, that thing come out well. And now it's just almost, you know, it's amazing to go over there and. But I know God is establishing a new work in a new country. And I used to come home and get mad at y'all because you weren't excited about it as they are. But the Lord did speak to me one time and told me, he said, if they had the gospel of this body and the moves of the Spirit that this body's had this long as y'all have, over here they'd be acting just like y'all are acting. Flesh is flesh. So that made me ease up on y'all. You know, I had to come home and want to beat on you because you wouldn't, you know, let's do what we did in the Dominican Republic. Y'all did see what I told you about how they start a service, though, didn't you? You know, we could, you know, we probably could try that some. Those guys, they just get a microphone and stand up and start out. Start out saying, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Everybody stands up when they do it, and everybody starts saying hallelujah together. And they just get to doing that, and before long, they draw the Spirit of God in, and a cloud comes in among them. And might ought to practice that sometime. Just see what had happened. Just say, let's try this hallelujah deal for about 5 minutes before we get started. Standing on her feet, really crying out to God, praying, talking to Him. It works. And I didn't teach them that. They taught me that. Yeah. That's how they start over there. They just, somebody gets there, turns on the microphone. A few that are there, they just get up and start praising God and saying hallelujah, and all the men on the platform stand up and start saying it with whoever's got their microphone. Two or three of them get their microphone and get it going that way. And, you know, it's effective. And but anyway, there's another scripture in 2 Timothy. Read that, and then we've got, is dinner ready? Ready. In the third chapter of 2 Timothy, 14th verse, it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Of course, Paul's talking to Timothy here, but we can, it does apply to all of us if we'll continue in the things that we've learned. That's the key, saints, is continue. Don't give up. Don't stop serving Him. Keep your personal walk with Him alive. Keep praying. And sometimes if you feel like things is getting dry, find you a little closet somewhere. Find a place. Sometimes I go outside. I got to get alone. Sometimes I get in the car. I have had to pull over before. I get so busy talking to God, I can't keep going. I just have to pull over. But wherever you're at, wherever you find a place, to just talk to Him. Talk to Him often. Be in prayer. Always. Keep prayer in your life. Keep talking to God. Amen. All right. Tonight's service is at 5. Let's see what the Lord's going to do. And then I want to remind you of our ministers' meeting in November. I think it starts the 12th. That week, we need you. We're going to need your work, and before the meeting, we'll have to have some work days. And let's see, there's something else I was going to announce. Oh, the youth meeting in Wichita. I just want to remind you of that. Do we have the dates on that? Wichita youth meeting. And I want to remind you, that's not just another youth meeting, that's our sister assembly. Wichita Church is a great support to us, even though they're, you know, we're about 8 hours apart, so they can't come here that often, but they're here with a busload every youth meeting, and they're always in full support, here to work, and they always give $1,000 minimum and up for an offering. And I think we are to be just as strong a support to them. We're, you know, they're having this meeting because I asked Brother Green to have the meeting on the year that we have, you know, because it's hard. It'd be hard for us to host two meetings. You to try to take off all your time twice a year in 1 year. This year we're having a ministers' meeting, so I asked them on the year we do that to have the youth meeting in Wichita. And they've been faithful to do that so that we would have a youth meeting in our area, in this region of the country. And so I just wanted to remind y'all of it. July the 25th, 6th, and 7th. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And is that right? Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday. All right. We'll make sure we get confirmation on the exact time it starts. But anyway, I just wanted to remind you of that. I think some are, is it the week before or 2 weeks before that Brother Ross has his meeting in Convention Center? 2 weeks before. And I think some of you is going to try to make that. And I'm not, that's good. I'm glad. But I do feel like we have an obligation to Wichita. Because they're hosting that meeting, because we're not going to be able to host it, and their faithfulness to us. So, but if you can make both of them, well, I think that's good too. All of our youth need all of this that they can get. And by the way, I'm thankful for our youth that's serving God, being faithful on the job, the youth meeting services that they're having. I'm thankful for them. All right, is there any other announcements we need to make? Choir practice at 3, band practice at 4. Let's all stand and pray for the food and our fellowship. There's plenty for everyone, so if you can stay, well, we'd love for you to stay. Sure appreciate having you, Sister Talbot, with us today. And also Kayla. She's the girl back there in the kind of, in the yellow sweater by her grandma in her yellow cover, coat, whatever you call that thing. Anyway, she's getting so big. I remember when she was born. I dedicated her to the Lord when she was just a little baby. She's grown up here to be a young lady. So we're glad. I guess she's down here visiting her grandmother and grandfather. Goodness. Brother Mike's back. Mike Crafton and all the folks that made it back. We made a safe turnaround to the Dominican Republic and back. Been about 3,000 miles. Well, further than that, I guess more like 5,000 round trip, maybe. I did mention it when you were out. All right. So we're just thankful for all of you. I'm glad Brother and Sister Stewart were able to make it today. I mentioned they've been sick, but thank God for them being in service. I'm going to tell you something. And I don't mean to draw attention to old folks. I don't think this bothers them. It don't bother me. It's not bothering me, and I'm not near as old as they are, but I'm getting used to it. But I'm telling you, we need them. We need them. It just does something for you to see somebody that's been on the job a long time, serving God. It just does something for you. And it's a strength to an assembly. We need that. And all of you that's getting older, will just, take that as we need you. And it's good that you're getting old. Some of you, we need the younger ones too. Anyway, thank you, Lord God, for your goodness to us. Your grace.